Welcome to Starter Chicken, a festive special, no less. I hope all of you had an excellent Christmas. Will you knock it off? Thank you. As I was saying, I hope you all had a lovely Christmas, a good James Webb telescope launch, and an excellent Isaac Newton birthday. That's a happy birthday to our winter flower, Isaac Newton, whomst we love very much over at Slap the Chicken. Right. Let's begin. Ooh, by the way, I won't be taking up as much of your time on this episode. Third year is quite a formative experience. Yeah, I've got some work to do. Hopefully some of you will have had Christmas cake or pudding as part of your festive celebrations. If you didn't, I am outside your house. Both contain preserved fruit, which you might have guessed has some interesting science going on. Some fruit is preserved by steeping it in alcohol with a bit of sugar. The sugar removes the water from the fruit, allowing the fruit to absorb the alcohol, which is why preserved fruits look a bit wrinkly. What gives fruits their taste and smell are a series of aromatic compounds called esters. These dissolve in the alcohol, meaning that whatever alcohol you've decided to use takes on the flavour and smell of your fruit, so you can get a very nice fruity concoction that you can get wasted on. Alcohol also slows the growth and kills bacteria or fungus that may develop in your little jar of fruit. Bacteria and fungal cells are surrounded by a membrane which alcohol can dissolve, and that kills the cell. Alcohol also denatures the proteins within bacteria and fungi. Now, what that means is a protein molecule is a long-chain molecule which has a natural shape to it. It will be held in that shape by hydrogen bonds between some of the atoms that make up the chain. When you denature the protein, that means that the hydrogen bonds get broken and that protein ends up in a quite a vague structure and it looks rubbish. It's worth noting that the higher the strength of the alcohol, the better preserved the fruit ends up being. Straight ethanol or hand sanitizer might spice up your festive table a little too much, so people tend to stick to vodka, brandy, gin or whiskey, depending on how disgusting you want your fruit to taste. I personally look forward to Christmas because it's the only time I can set my food on fire without having to listen to people complaining about it. Well, not technically the food. It's the brandy vapour which catches fire, which is why you have to warm the brandy up before you pour it on the pudding and light it, because otherwise there's no vapour to catch fire and you just end up setting fire to the cake. Which, I mean, it could work for some people. Doesn't tend to work for the relatives. Disclaimer, I was trying to find out why people set the pudding on fire. And apparently, some say it represents the passion of the Christ. It seems a bit cruel. It's his birthday and all that. The same website did also say that Jesus had 13 disciples, so I'm not completely sure. Candied fruit may also have made an appearance at your festive proceedings. This is basically pumping the fruit full of sugar and replacing all of the water in the fruit with said sugar. All this talk about removing water is because most of the organisms that make your fruit go off like a nice watery environment for them to stay alive. So by removing your water, you make a situation where they cannot survive. By this logic, you can also just dry the fruit out to preserve it if you don't want to get a cavity or completely wasted. Disclaimer, we have an update on the disciple situation. Number 13 joined the crew as Judas's replacement after it all. Oh, it all went a bit south for him. You can find all the details in the Bible. Number 13's name is Saint Matthias. Everybody say hello. Anyway, I've had enough of that now. I can only mean one thing. It is reindeer time. But first, a transmission from space. James Webb Telescope, James Webb Telescope, sailing through the sky. James Webb Telescope, going seas and galaxies we high, formed and wide. Made of a million gold plated mirror, capturing ancient light. It launched off on Christmas Day, into the endless night, the night, into the endless night. Now a reindeer is a big lad with hooves. The scientific name for a hooved mammal is an ungulate, which also could be an appropriate reaction to Santa appearing on the 27th. They may not necessarily be a big lad, of course. They may be a big lass whose milk is apparently richer than that of any other ungulate. Being a mammal, the youth suckles on a teat for a month before it is capable of eating plants. The reindeer, not the teat, that is. These plants include the larch, the birch, grass and sedges. In winter, they have to make do with a very particular kind of lichen, which they have to dig holes in the snow to find. If you want any more information about reindeer, I'm here all week. But I'm not here on the recording, though. You see, I told you it wasn't going to be long, because to be fair, I'm recording this sat in my bed, in my pyjamas. It's 8 p.m, and I'm a bit tired. I need to go back to sleep. I am hibernating so very much, and I have exams to revise for. So this episode has been a little one. It's been a little bit unhinged, and I am a little one. We should hopefully be resuming to normal-ish service in the new year, January the 26th, hopefully, although I do have an exam on that day. Could be fun. That one should be the pants episode that we were on about last time, so, yeah. Good night. Disclaimer, 10 fully grown reindeers would utterly destroy your roof, by the way. If there's more or less than 10 reindeer attached to Santa's sleigh, I neither know nor care. He brought me a fidget spinner. Santa brought me a fidget spinner this year, it's well said.